ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 9, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Kāyamityeva yat karma
niyatam kriyate arjuna
saṅgam tyaktvā phalam caiva satyāga sattviko mataha kāyamityeva yat karma niyatam kriyate arjuna saṅgam tyaktvā phalam caiva satyāga sattviko mataha.
O Arjuna, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. Prescribed duties must be performed with this mentality. One should act without attachment for the result. He should be disassociated from the modes of work. A man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory, nor with the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna. And when he gives up the result for Krishna, he is acting transcendentally. Continuing our discussion of Yukta Vairagya, understanding and applying Yukta Vairagya. This verse is very suitable for that discussion as it describes tyaga, renunciation, in the mode of goodness. Now, tyaga and vairagya are different words, obviously. They're not exactly the same, they're very closely associated. Vairagya literally means detachment. Actually, virag would be attachment and vairagya would be the state of being detached. And tyaga means to actually give something up. So they're not exactly the same, but they're very close, because if one has a sense of detachment, then he'll give it up. Now, what's to be given up? Generally, it's thought that renunciation means, yeah, to give things up. But here, as Krishna has stated repeatedly throughout the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the first one-third of the Bhagavad Gita, it's not the work that is to be given up, but it's attachment to the fruit of the work. That one should work, not that work is to be given up, but one decidedly must work, but he should renounce the fruit. So that's renunciation in the mode of goodness. And we're talking about Yukta Vairagya means specifically in the service of Krishna. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataharam Upayanjitaha Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate. Specifically, the name of Krishna is given here. So this means that without being attached to anything material, one should see its relationship with Krishna and work in that way. So it's not just a matter of giving up the fruits of the work, But it's a matter of seeing Krishna, which means offering everything to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse from Bhagavad Gita that we just read, writes about a man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory. In the early days of ISKCON, devotees were joining. There was no means of income. Devotees have to be fed and there are things to be done. Srila Prabhupada sent the devotees out to work. And most of them had no specific work experience, having been hippies. So they mostly got menial jobs, for instance, in factories. Tamal Krishna Maharaj described how he was working for Kodak, opening, you won't remember, but they used to have these little capsules which the film was put inside. So he would open the capsule and take out the film, throw away the capsule, and he'd do this again and again and again and again throughout the day. And his boss was Guru Das, who was in a higher position. He was developing the films. But they gave all the money to Krishna. He didn't keep the money with, neither of them kept the money with themselves. So they were sannyasis. They were sannyasis in the sense that they didn't keep the fruits of the work. They gave it all for Krishna's service. So anyway, Tamal Krishna Maharaj described that he had been doing this for about 2 weeks when Prabhupada sent a letter saying that, well, if you want, you can just go out and chant Hare Krishna on the streets and depend on Krishna. So that's what they did. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, not at that time formerly a sannyasi, he brought that to an art form, if you like, by organizing the devotees, organizing the collection. And then later on, when Bhakti Godhead magazines were to be distributed in bulk, he organized that, and it went on and went on and went on to massive distribution of books with the Radha Damodar Party. If you might be wondering why Srila Prabhupada is talking about devotees working in a factory. Generally, we don't recommend working in factories, which Srila Prabhupada calls dungeons for demons. We recommend household devotees can go to the farm, but then so many are working in, so many household devotees associated with ISKCON these days work in offices and shops and factories also. But the idea is that one should not be attached to the fruit. And he doesn't associate himself with the work, nor with the workers of the factory. Actually, I have several disciples in Bharuch, in a city in Gujarat, where there's huge chemical factories. And the devotees there, they do associate themselves with the workers in the factory. They preach to them and make them devotees also and engage them in service. So that but the idea is you don't associate with the lower propensities that people have. So this was yukta vairagya, that you work but you're not attached to the work nor to the fruits of it, and engage it all in Krishna's service. So that's yukta vairagya. And then going out on Harinam Sankirtan is directly engaging in Krishna's service without having to, it's not mixing with the material energy. It's directly Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. The other thing is dovetailing. Srila Prabhupada used to use this word, dovetailing. I don't know if you have a, you must have a word like that in Croatian also, dovetailing. It comes from carpentry, actually. That there's a dovetail joint. That means you have one piece of wood and another piece of wood, and at the end, to join them together, you have one piece of wood which is shaped like a dovetail, which is something like that, and the other one is shaped to receive. It's like male and female parts. You put them together and it makes a very strong joint. You have to put some glue in or something also, generally speaking. So it means putting two things together and they stay together. So So dovetailing, Srila Prabhupada said, talked about dovetailing our propensities. And that's the whole Varnashram system, is dovetailing the propensity. If one has a propensity to be an intellectual, then he can dovetail that propensity by being a brahmana in Krishna consciousness. If one has the Ishvara Bhav, the mood to dominate over others, or can actually, or leadership propensities, we talk about, then be a kshatriya. So that's dovetail in the Varnashram system. And then when that is engaged in Krishna service, Varnashram acharavata purushena parapuman vishnura radyate panta nanyat tatto shakaranam, then that becomes devotional service. It's called Daiva Varnashram. And without Krishna, it becomes just useless. Then one can go to hell even by following the Varnashram system if one neglects to worship Krishna. But actually the Varnashram system takes one toward Krishna by the very way it's set up. So dovetailing our propensities in Krishna consciousness, that's another way of saying it, yukta vairagya. Another phrase that Srila Prabhupada used to use was making the best use of a bad bargain. Anyway, life in this material world is a bad bargain. It's not a good situation to be in. But especially the human form of life can be used for purification and ultimately for developing Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, as a preacher of Krishna consciousness, a preacher empowered acharya, he found the ways and means to engage people in Krishna's service. That means how people who are in material consciousness can immediately be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we can say someone's in material consciousness, okay, engage them in their propensity, what their work is, either as brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, engage them like that. So that helps to civilize people, but to bring them to Krishna consciousness, that's above the platform of simply acting in Varnashram. If one acts in Varnashram in Krishna consciousness, that's the perfection of Varnashram. If one acts in Krishna consciousness even without knowledge of Varnashram, then that's still perfect. Although without Varnashram is more likely, without dovetailing one's conditioned propensities, it's going to make it more difficult for the conditioned soul to remain in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, one of the reasons that he was able to succeed in establishing Krishna consciousness in the Western world, he was able to feel the pulse of the people. The devotees were coming to him and preach to them accordingly, present the message of Krishna consciousness to them accordingly, and to engage them accordingly. When I say preach the message of Krishna consciousness to them accordingly, that doesn't mean that he said what they liked. Actually, many of the things that he said, they didn't like. Especially when Srila Prabhupada said, you voted for the government, so the government tells you to go to Vietnam, you should go. They didn't like that. A lot of people didn't like that. Hippies didn't like that. For instance, illicit sex, no drugs, many of the things Srila Prabhupada said they didn't like, but what he gave them was so substantial, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, directly experienced spirituality, that many of them stayed and they came to accept what Srila Prabhupada taught. So everything Srila Prabhupada did as a Vaishnava preacher was engaging people, taking them from the very low-grade existence in the Western world especially, and engaging them at that level and bringing them up, but not trying to do the impossible by making them immediately paramahamsas. He would preach, you should surrender to Krishna. But at the same time, he understood that For most people, it's going to be a gradual process. Not that everyone's going to immediately become a Paramahamsa. Though actually, Srila Prabhupada did give engagement in such a way that devotees could act on the spiritual platform 24 hours a day. He didn't do that immediately. The morning program, that got introduced later. But gradually, Srila Prabhupada gave a whole package of Krishna consciousness of activities. So in this verse, it talks about renunciation in the mode of goodness. Krishna consciousness, it transcends the mode of goodness. So even activities that might seem to be in the mode of passion, they're actually above the platform of the mode of goodness, if they are actually in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada himself gave an example when he was publishing his magazine, Back to Godhead, from Delhi while living in Vrindavan. And he mentioned in one issue of this is before he came to the Western world, he mentioned in one issue how sometimes people criticize him and say, what kind of a sadhu is this? He's renounced everything to come and live in Vrindavan, but he's going up and down all the time to Delhi and printing and bargaining with the businessmen for the price of paper and the price of printing. And it seems that he's engaged in some fruitive work. But Srila Prabhupada explained that actually this is for Krishna. So it's above the platform. Fruitive work means work in the mode of passion. So even though it might seem that Srila Prabhupada was in the mode of passion by running around here and there, trying to get things done, the mode of passion is epitomized by trying to get things done, doing things. With great intense desire to enjoy the result. But Srila Prabhupada is on the spiritual platform. Māṁ ca yo vihabhicārena bhakti yogena sevate sagunān samatityāyitān brahma bhūyāya kalpate. Srila Prabhupada was on the platform beyond the modes of material nature, because he was on the spiritual platform because he was doing everything wholly and solely for the pleasure of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada writes here about how the factory workers can be in Krishna consciousness. A devotee works in the factory can be in Krishna consciousness. Now, factory is dungeons for demons. So that's really in the mode of ignorance. So even the mode of ignorance can be engaged in Krishna service, or a situation that is in the very lowest mode. Of course, some things, they become more difficult to engage. Just like drinking wine is very deeply in the mode of ignorance. But even that, Srila Prabhupada said, if when you're drinking wine, you think, I like this. This taste is Krishna. Rasoham apsu kaunteya. If you think this is Krishna, whether someone thinks like that while drinking wine, eventually they'll become a great devotee. Not a recommended process, because to be a great devotee means no drinking wine. But if one is addicted to drinking wine, he can also be purified even in that situation. So Srila Prabhupada was expert in engaging people, bringing out the spiritual, or engaging them in spiritual activities, even while engaged in apparently material activities. Narad Muni states to Vyasadeva, āmayo yascha bhūtānam jayate yena suvrata tadeva hi āmayam dravyam napunāti chikitsitam. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? That brings to mind homeopathy, and in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if someone gets an upset stomach due to excessive eating of rich milk products, he can be cured by taking milk in another form, in the form of yogurt. Srila Prabhupada himself giving the example of Yukta Vairagya, using everything in Krishna's service. He several times, in the Nectar of Devotion, he gives the example of the dictaphone, because he was dictating. He said that some materialistic person invented this for material purposes, but I am using it in Krishna's service, So it's completely spiritual. The dictaphone can be considered spiritual. The use of it can be considered spiritual. And many times when he was lecturing, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the microphone. That the microphone, when it's engaged in Krishna's service, that becomes a purely spiritual activity. So whoever developed the microphone wasn't thinking about how someone can deliver spiritual discourses. He was just speaking in general, singing in general. But Srila Prabhupada, he showed how that item, which was developed for material purposes, for forgetting Krishna, can be used for Krishna's service. And the same thing goes for YouTube, cameras, and all kinds. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. Some things, we would have to close the slaughterhouse. That some things are too far away from anything sane or proper that they would have to be closed. But all these facilities which are used for sense gratification, they can be used for Krishna's sense gratification instead of for personal sense gratification. This, of course, Srila Prabhupada followed the example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who in the logo of the Gauriya Math, he designed the logo with pictures of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi, Narayana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mridanga, kartals, and a printing press. What's that got to do with it? That's a bit strange, isn't it? Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had the printing press right in front of the deities in his main temple in Calcutta. Considered it to be completely spiritual. He himself was expert in all printing operations. He'd been trained by his father. So he saw it as completely spiritual because it's printing spiritual literature. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, who he came from the spiritual world, from the land of Radha and Krishna, where there are no, as far as we know, printing presses or any such Kali Yuga, Ugra karmic machines. But Srila Prabhupada came to give the message of the spiritual world, and he dovetailed everything in this material world for that purpose. Machines and people, our mentality also, because we're not fit for sitting down and chanting all day. So Srila Prabhupada sent devotees out to chant so the preaching and our mentality could be, our mentality is engaged in preaching. Otherwise, if it's not engaged in preaching, it'll be engaged in sleeping or fighting with each other and so many things. So Srila Prabhupada, he came with the message of the spiritual world and he gave us all instruction. Even in the Western countries, he had to teach the devotees that after evacuating, you have to bathe and then you have to wash the behind with water, all these kinds of things. That's why in India, at least, the Hindus, they could never really accept the Britishers to be on the same platform, because people who, after passing stool, they wipe their backside with paper, pull up their pants and go on with life. That puts them on the level of the lowest people. But Srila Prabhupada was willing to go among such people and teach them everything. Not even ABC, even before ABC, how to hold a pen. It's like that. Taught them. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there's no direction on how you have to, after how to pass stool or such things, but brushing teeth, not exactly brushing, cleaning the teeth is mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as one of the items that Sanatan Goswami should describe in his Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Srila Prabhupada, he came from the spiritual world, he found us here in this fallen condition, and he engaged us at the level we could engage in, which means his followers had a lot of useful energy, so Srila Prabhupada engaged them in hard work. He mentioned, and he gave so many tasks. You have to distribute more and more books, be fully engaged, eat less, sleep less. In the beginning, he didn't. In the beginning, it was chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But gradually, he piled on the pressure, pushing movement. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada engaged the youthful energy of his followers and their ambition to do it. Americans especially, nowadays I don't know, but Americans that generally are got to do something big. That spirit is there in America. So he engaged them to do big things for Krishna. And competitive spirit, instead of competing to destroy each other, he had them, you different temples can compete to see who can distribute more books. And Srila Prabhupada stoked the fires of competition when he was told on one morning walk that Los Angeles temple had outdone South America had out-distributed the Radha Damodar Party. And Prabhupada said, oh, Tamal will have a heart attack, because Tamal Krishnamurti was leading the Radha Damodar Party. So he was in this way, humorously but very consciously cultivating the competitive spirit, knowing that his disciples had that. So we should all be very grateful, because Srila Prabhupada, as an expert guru, engaged us according to our needs. Another example he gave, right in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gave the purport. He said that because the Western young boys and girls, they're accustomed to mixing with each other, and because one cannot change the social customs of people immediately, therefore we have the policy that the women can also live in the ashram, the unmarried women, and the women are engaged in book distribution also. So Srila Prabhupada says this is it's working very well, this policy. But he didn't note that he said because the customs of a people cannot be changed over very, very immediately. In other words, the culture of males and females mixing very freely is definitely not good for spiritual advancement. But Srila Prabhupada seeing that that couldn't be changed immediately, instead of just living with that disadvantage, he engaged the young, often vivacious women in going out and distributing books with. And so this way Srila Prabhupada, he was expert in engaging all the different devotees, and the movement spread wonderfully. And we're all very grateful that he engaged us according to our needs and propensities, that youthful energy. Now, of course, the question may come up that, well, how do we know then is it real enthusiasm from the spiritual platform, or is it just some youthful energy from the mode of passion? Even if it's youthful energy from the mode of passion, if it's engaged in Krishna's service under the guidance of a pure devotee, it becomes completely spiritual. And if the motivation is coming from, is the motivation coming from, I want to show myself to be better than others, I want to do more than others, or I just got all this energy, I've got to let it out. Is it that, or is it genuine spiritual enthusiasm? That we will see in due course of time. as Krishna states, Trityaya dharyate mana pranendriya kriyaha yogena avyabhicharanya triti sa parta triti sa parta sattviki. So this verse describes here the renunciation in the mode of goodness, and the verse that I just read now describes determination in the mode of goodness. O son of Prita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. So sometimes we see that a devotee is very enthusiastic, and they're very enthusiastic and they're very determined to go out and distribute many books. But after some time, they lose the enthusiasm, the determination breaks. So that we can understand that that determination wasn't fully on the spiritual platform. It hasn't become solid. Whereas that which is solid, it's unbreakable. It's sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice. So Srila Prabhupada, apart from engaging us and dovetailing our propensities, he gave us the process of bhakti sadhana. The process of bhakti sadhana is completely, that's not dovetailing anything. That is complete and direct engagement in the activities of the spiritual world, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Of course, we bring to that our own conditioning also, but the activity itself is the core activities of the spiritual world, or the activities which performed in the way given by Shastra and Acharyas, performed in this world, carries us to the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada, while engaging devotees to go out and distribute books, he insisted that, of course, not only distribute books, hold festivals and harinams and prasadam distribution and so many things, dress the deities in the temple, so many things to do. But Srila Prabhupada engaged the devotees also in sadhana and insisted that they do that because this will purify the devotees and sustain their enthusiasm and bring them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Because if one is engaging his energy in Krishna's service, but is not hearing and chanting regularly about Krishna, then the attitude that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that attitude will come. But one has to regularly hear and chant about Krishna, and regularly hear, I am the servant of Krishna. We shouldn't be attached to the fruit. Everything should be offered to Krishna. I have no ability to do anything myself. So gradually the devotee, by purification and the activities of distributing and all these, even though I'm saying dovetailing, it's not materially tainted. It's not that hearing and chanting about Krishna is fully spiritual and going out and distributing books is materially tainted. It's not like that. Both are fully spiritual to the extent that we are in the spiritual consciousness of offering everything to Krishna. So sometimes it's misunderstood. Some venerable Vaishnava Acharya, who's passed away now, said that this book distribution is only karma yoga. It's not fully spiritual. But that is Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada called that Sankirtan. Sankirtan is the yajna for this age. Srila Prabhupada called it is Sankirtan because it is group glorification or complete glorification of Krishna by spreading his glories in terms of in the form of books about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So the sadhana is essential to help us focus our mind on why we're doing what we're doing. And gradually by doing this program of sadhana and active service, then gradually the consciousness becomes purified. And then we don't want to do anything else, and we only want to serve Krishna. We don't have any other idea. However, we have to be careful, because we're talking about yukta vairagya. We have to be very careful. There's actually a spirit of vairagya. We may be very eager to say, I need a good car for going on sankirtan. I need the best car. So, but we may be attached to the car, or having a good car. There may be something like that. Well, I always wanted to drive fancy cars. Now I have the opportunity in Krishna consciousness. Krishna might fulfill the desire of someone. He has a desire to drive a fancy car. I guess the way men are programmed by the advertising industry, they call it an industry, although industry should produce something, but it just produces impressions in the mind. So the advertising industry, it produces a desire that men want to drive fancy cars. So it's not that everyone wants to drive, but many have that feeling, I want to drive a fancy car. And then when they come to Krishna consciousness, they forget about it, and then they find themselves driving a fancy car, and they think, oh, Krishna fulfilled my desire. But I know I don't desire it anymore. Something like Dhruva Maharaj, who desired a kingdom, and then when he got Krishna conscious, he didn't desire the kingdom anymore, but he got the kingdom anyway. But we had to be very careful, because the material attachment can rise again. In other words, in Yukta Vairagya, the word yukta comes first in sequence of how we speak it, but in our mind the vairagya should come first. That should be there. If there is no detachment from this material world and we're engaging in activities which involve association with the things of this world that generally saintly people are enjoined to keep aloof from, it falls under two main categories, kanaka kamini. Wealth, kanak literally means gold, wealth, and kamini means women seen as objects of desire, or women taken as persons who incite our desire. So everything falls under these two categories. And if we're not developing detachment, and we're simply engaging with these things, then it's a great formula for falling away from Krishna consciousness altogether. So we have to be very careful when dealing with these objects of the material world. Even Srila Prabhupada said, just to give an example, he warned in devotees in relating with George Harrison, who was a very big man of the world at the time, that Srila Prabhupada said, we have to be very little careful dealing with these rich and famous people, because the desire to enjoy as they are enjoying comes. Or the fact that, oh yeah, I was just talking to George Harrison, we may just drop his name to show ourselves off as being a great person. So we have to be very careful. And people with lots of money, generally they are very materialistic. George Harrison was a very special person, no doubt. But even in his case, Srila Prabhupada warned that we have to be a little careful. It may not be any fault in George's part, but the fault may be on our part, in our own mind, in our dealing with him. Srila Prabhupada himself was fully renounced. He showed that. That might seem that he was living in comfortable apartments, In several places in the world, Srila Prabhupada's rooms, they're preserved up to the present day, and they're very aristocratic, you could say. They're suitable for a very high-class person, which of course Srila Prabhupada was the highest of high-class people. His room in Bhaktivedanta Manor, in Melbourne, in New York, that's gone now, but he had in the high-rise building in Manhattan. In Los Angeles, actually, it's quite small, but nice. So, but Srila Prabhupada used these facilities for inviting respectable people so that he could speak to them and preach to them. But he was quite happy that was seen. He stayed for quite some time in January 1977, when he was already established as the world acharya and had so many comfortable apartments he could stay in. But he lived in a hut in Bhuvaneshwar, a mud hut, mud grass hut, and took bath from the hand pump and went and passed stool in the field. So Srila Prabhupada showed his detachment. When he left this world, he left from Vrindavan. He insisted, "Don't take me to the hospital. Let me just stay here. Whatever happens, don't take me to the hospital." And he was completely detached. That he came to Vrindavan from Rishikesh and said, "Well," he said, "if I have to die, let it be here." He just saw it, "Dhiras tatra na mohyati," that it's another change. Death is inevitable. He wasn't disturbed. He was completely detached from his apparent death, although a Vaishnava never dies, and certainly not in the sense that a materialistic person dies. So how to, naturally the question arises that how can we keep that vision or develop that vision and that understanding so we can live in the world and work in this world and not be attached to it and offer everything to Krishna? Well, first of all, we have to understand what it means, what Yukta Vairagya means. That's the first thing. And then we have to be sincere, that's all. It is possible to misuse things in Krishna's service and to say, yes, I'm using, I'm the town president here and I'm using 75% of the temple's income for my family expenses because I have to run on my family. Specious. Doesn't sound right. I'm the town president and I have a fancy car and meanwhile there's paid for by the temple and meanwhile there's not enough food for the devotees in the temple. I mean, that would be an extreme, I'm just exaggerating here, that would be an extreme example. But you get the idea that we have to see what is proper according to the circumstances and act accordingly. The sincerity means we're thinking, how can we best serve Krishna with the facilities that Krishna has given us at the present time? And act accordingly. If that means buying a Rolls Royce, then do it. If it doesn't mean that, then don't. You're going to buy a Rolls Royce, Suvarna Benga? You're going to collect enough money on Sankirtan to buy a Rolls Royce? Are there any Rolls Royce? Anyone drive Rolls Royce in Croatia? Anyone that rich? Probably not, no? Why would they stay? So, it's a matter of being sincere, that's all. And understanding the principle. So, Hare Krishna, any question about this?
Hare Krishna. This verse, it is explained, I think, in mode of goodness, which means to some extent people are satisfied in acting properly. And but we can see when we try to distribute books that many people say, "I'm okay." They do it in a nice, polite way, but basically they refuse to.
Yeah, they nicely refuse to take the book.
So can you give us some advice?
Some advice? What to say? But once devotees ask Srila Prabhupada what to say when distributing the books, and Srila Prabhupada got up from his seat and he approached the devotee as if he was selling a book. And he came up to him as if Srila Prabhupada was the bookseller and said that, "My dear sir, you are such a wonderful person. You are such an intelligent person. Now, I request you to give up all your hogwash nonsense ideas and take this book." So he was paraphrasing the... He would often say that this is how to preach, a verse from Chaitanya Chandramrita of Prabodhananda Saraswati. He sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad Chaitanya Chandra Charne Kurudanu Ragam. Oh, you very great saintly person, you give up all your nonsense ideas and become attached to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Dante nidhaya trinakam. What is that? Trinakam nipatya eva. I'm taking a straw in my mouth, I'm falling down at your feet. So, Srila Prabhupada gave that idea. Another time when devotees asked Srila Prabhupada what to say when distributing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada said, "You show them this verse, Krishna swadhamo pagate, dharma jnana dibisa, kalo nashta, nashta dirshamesha purana kadunodita." The Srimad Bhagavatam is just like the sun which has arisen in the darkness of Kali Yuga. Now that Krishna has departed this world, accompanied by dharma and jnana, all these. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun which will give light in the darkness of Kali Yuga. And even there may not be one formula when people say that. You have to see the individual. The generally accepted among veteran book distributors that the formula for book distribution, there's no set lines. You do your sadhana nicely and pray and go out, and Krishna will give the intelligence what to say. You may say, I'm all right. Yeah, then you may say, then you take it as a gift for blah, blah, blah. But as many reasons as you can give, that many excuses people have. But you pray to Krishna. And if they don't take, then you go on to someone else.
Hare Krishna. So when the body is youthful, the trap is to serve Krishna and Rajagun. But when the body starts getting older, the trap is to think, I'm not able to do so much service, but then Tamagun can enter. If you can,
what's that? If you're not able to do so much service, tamagun comes?
Yeah, like when the body grows old, then you don't have so much bodily energy to do
service.
But
by that time you should have developed spiritual energy. And then if the body can't move that much, still you can hear and chant about Krishna. If the body is too old and weak, then you have to retire from activities, but you can go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Krishna will give the intelligence. If we serve Him sincerely, as long as the body is hale and hearty, then Krishna will give the intelligence what to do when it's winding down. Then something else.
I have a question regarding yesterday's lecture, if possible.
Yeah, yeah, it's all related.
Yeah. In the purport, it was stated, citing Sanatana Goswami, this bell metal is turned into gold when mixed in this alchemical process. So one can become a brahmana by properly being trained and initiated. Were there some examples in that art? That people
were there examples of that time being initiated as brahmanas? Not that I know.
Or is it just like being...
It was largely theoretical. That came later. From what I understand, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wasn't the first to do that. But he was the most polemic in doing so. Okay, so finish there. Vanchakalpatarupyastra kipa sindhivivacha. Patitanam pamanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.